We're ready to.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm as the mayor is absent, physically absent, joining us on Zoom, and is unable to chair, and there's currently no deputy mayor. I will call this meeting to order for the limited purpose of appointing a presiding officer. So, Council, I'll now ask for a motion to appoint a chair for this meeting.
May I appoint Councillor Wheeler as the chair of this meeting, please?
Okay, is there a seconder?
I'll second Justin LaChance.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, carried. So, Councillor Wheeler, you're now the chair. I'll turn the meeting over to you.
Okay, I'm just gonna stay here
Okay.
because okay, so I'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we're meeting in the traditional territory of Little Sam and Carmack's First Nation. Before we proceed, can we have just a moment of silence for the passing of Rachel Byers?
Thanks.
Thank you. That was a big loss to the community. Can I get a motion for appointment of deputy mayor for now until our next meeting of April 21st?
May I appoint, move that we appoint Councillor Wheeler as the deputy mayor until our next meeting on April 21st? Please.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, hang on, I gotta get in here. It's been a long time since I chaired.
It's like riding a plane.
Yeah. Oh, fun. You don't want photos. What are you doing to me?
Second example.
Okay, this is, yeah, Kim pulled photos. Yeah. Okay. Can I get an adoption of the agenda?
Will there be any changes?
There is one change, and it's the addition of 8.8, which is the council strategic planning session.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as amended.
Seconder?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the adoption of the minutes from regular meeting March 17th, 2026.
I make
I'll
a
make.
motion. I beg your pardon, Justin. Go ahead.
I can make that motion to accept the previous council meeting minutes as presented.
I will second the motion.
All in favor? Didn't ask if there was anything. Sorry, guys. Was there anything before the all in favor?
I didn't see anything, no.
It looks like our delegation, RCMP, not here, probably with Dennis. And Jane, is she joining? Oh, there's Jane right there.
And Mark too.
And Mark. Welcome.
No.
be better at this by now.
Not to worry.
I don't do a lot of Zoom meetings anymore, thankfully, because that means we're not in COVID anymore. Hi, everybody. So we're up right now? Okay. All
Go.
right. Here we go. I guess maybe I'll just start with a question for all of you. Did you have a chance to skim through the 2-3 page summary that we put together to kind of orient you as to where we are right now on the whole half front? Or should I just go through it?
We've only just received it, so we can go through it together if you like.
Okay, sounds
But
good. All right. Well, I think it's always helpful just to start these conversations with a reminder of what half is about, and because it obviously helps sort of inform what we need to be thinking about. So, half again is really based around two pieces. So, there's annual funding, and it's based on two key pieces: how well the village meets its commitments under its action plan. So, i.e., the things that it said it would do to try to improve housing outcomes in the community. So that's one piece. And then the other piece is how much progress it has made against the housing targets that it set in its original application. So, you know that Mark and I spent quite a bit of time last year trying to work with CMHC on an amendment to the action plan. That was great. It succeeded, so we were able to amend and move forward with a much more feasible action plan. But what we weren't able to amend was the original housing target that was set. So that is 72, if you recall. And so far, as of December 31st, 27 building permits have been received. And that's how they count sort of the progress against that 72 target is we have to have actual building permits. So we've got 27 building permits to date. That means there is a shortfall of 45 building permits. And that shortfall is going to apply basically from January 1st, 2026 to December 31st, 2026. After December 31st, 2026, any permits that are received, CMHC isn't going to count them. So we have to get as many as we can by the end of this calendar year. Because what happens then is the annual reporting will go in with those December 31st building permit reports, building permits reported. And that's what CMHC will look at to make its final decision as to whether or not the village gets that final installment of just under 600,000. What they've told us as recently as I guess this was a couple of months ago, Mark finished all the reporting for the 2025 calendar year. The action plan looked great. All of the targets were met there, or sorry, all of the commitments were met there. And based on the 27 permits, which is still really good progress compared to normal historic baseline, CMHC said, okay, the village is going to get its full installment for 2026, but we're flagging this right away that 72 target, we're still holding the village to it. And you should expect that funding will be impacted in the final year if it's not met. The challenge is that they couldn't be clear or committal in any way about what exactly that meant. We don't know. So that's the challenge that we're working with. Everybody with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So the only remaining commitment in the action plan is around this idea of a staff housing project on lot 127. So the concept that we have a development permit for involves the placement of seven manufactured homes. And I think you spoke about this a couple of months ago. So Mark and I are going to advance that project to the point where we have a building permit for those seven manufactured homes. But in reality, the building permit will be the end of the CMHC expectations for this project. So in real life, not in the half world, in real life, it means that you don't necessarily have to put seven mobile homes, or sorry, seven manufactured homes on lot 127. But it potentially means that through half, you could have the resources to at least move forward with a few of them. And just on that note, in terms of implementation, if council wanted to try to move forward a little bit on that whole idea, the per unit cost that we're looking at is about 210,000. And if you factor in site preparation, it basically translates to in the realm of 310,000 to put in one manufactured home, and then about 520,000 to put in two. Okay, so, and Mark did a great job of putting some pro forma that sort of showed what the sort of longer term financial implications of that might be. I think the two key numbers is a positive cash flow of $28,000 in revenue and over $1 million in total new net cash revenues to the village over the first 20 years, based on seven units, of course, but it gives you an idea. And he did that pro forma. That was one of the commitments in the action plan. And that's actually a reminder to me that I'm not sure if that's been shared with you, but anyhow, we'll get to that. So, yeah, Mark did some pro forma. Those are some of the rough numbers. So it goes without saying that there could be some very real financial benefit as well as strategic, staff retention, all of the other benefits with the village doing something on that lot. So, in terms of what you have available as remaining discretionary half funding, I got an update on this. Let's see, what did I tell you in this one says about, okay, yeah, we're good. Yeah, you've got about 600, you've got a bit more. About 600 to 620 in discretionary half funding that you could potentially spend. And of course, it is still possible that in year four, CMHC may provide at least partial funding, but you just don't know. You're not going to know that until probably next February, maybe even as late as next March. So, part of your challenge as a council is deciding, what to do with that uncertainty and with the certainty that you do have this roughly $600,000 to $620,000 in discretionary. So Mark and I sort of talked this.
Jane,
Yes.
should we take the question?
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the question. Yes, please.
Hi,
Thank
Jane.
you
Hi,
for
Mark.
flagging
It's
that.
Justin here. I'm on a Zoom. So when you're talking about the possible 600,000 remaining to spend, is that including or the possible reapplication for people to receive that funding, or how does that look?
For,
It would
oh,
be like the second round of applications.
yeah. So, no, sorry. Okay. I think I understood where you're going, but I may not be responding to the exact way you've asked the question. Let's just say that that 600 to 620 is what you have available to decide whether or not to have a second round. Because the funding for a second round would come out of that 600,000. Does that make sense? So it
Yes.
doesn't count the money that's already being committed from the first round. We're
Yeah, I
not
understand.
factoring that in. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so with that number, so that would be divided if there was a second round, a portion of that And then possibly these structured houses or the building structures on that lot would come out of that funding too.
Potentially, yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dustin. Thanks, Mark, for flagging that. Any other questions just about sort of status quo and where things are at before we have a look at potential strategy and options? Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Choice. Thank you.
Makes sense. Okay, great. Well, Mark and I, in talking about how you might approach sort of this uncertainty piece, the uncertainty on the one hand of whether or not year four funding will happen, and of course, then the certainty of the money that you do know you have to spend. One strategy, certainly, that's worth considering is to use this discretionary money, the 600 plus, to try to rally as many building permits as possible by that December 31st, 2026 timeline, in the hopes that you will optimize your chances of getting as much year four funding as possible. Maybe it's going to be, a cut and dried. If the target isn't reached, there's no money. Maybe they'll prorate it. So if there's, half of that 45 gap is met, maybe half of the remaining funding will happen. Who knows? We can only kind of imagine at this point. But as in terms of an overall strategy, we certainly think that's worth considering. And then in part with that, with sort of putting some of this discretionary funding to rally permits, is to allocate what is left over and any additional year four funding that might come through to a first phase of Lot 127 development. The first phase realistically would probably be anywhere between one and three manufactured homes on the lot, somewhere in that realm. And of course, the village could potentially access other funding through programs like the Housing Initiatives Fund that Yukon Housing Corporation administers. So you'll see there's kind of a table of some scenarios because I wanted to give you a sense of, what the implications might be if, for example, scenario one, you decided, you know what, we're not going to have another intake. Let's just accept that we have this $600,000 and focus as much of it as possible on Lot 127, like what we have within our control as council. So, number one scenario sort of imagines what that would look like, and no further half funding happens. And you can see if there is support, say, from Housing Initiatives Fund, you could pr probably fund two to three manufacturers. Homes, or sorry, three to four with HIF support. Scenario two, well, maybe you do get partial prorated funding in 2027, based on, of course, you are going to have the seven permits for Lot 127. Mark and I are going to make sure you get those seven. Maybe there's a few more. So let's just hypothetically say there's nine. If CMHC is willing to prorate, you could end up with enough resources, again, with HIF support for maybe four to five manufactured homes, something like that. And so you can see sort of all the way through to at the end of other end of the table, scenario six, basically reflecting, oh, sorry, maybe I should talk about scenario three. Scenario three sort of being a scenario in which you're throwing like a lot of potential discretionary funds, like as much as you've got really, at a new intake for housing incentives and what the implications of that would be. So hopefully that gives you a sense. Does anybody have any questions about kind of those scenarios? And of course, this is all very, very, very rough thinking. I just wanted you to have something to help you kind of visualize a bit.
Jane, I have a few questions on that. Thank you for presenting that. Also, Mark, thank you. Those rough ideas, I think, are very well put together. I would like to see, I guess, a timeline of when we would have to kind of act on a choice of one of those options or two of those options, or what that looks like as a council's discussion and with you, kind of moving forward, just a kind of a timeline, because that's what kind of like the pressing matter is, the time I'm hearing.
Mark, how about I'll answer first and then let's get your opinion.
Okay.
Okay. I think that because the housing incentives really are time bound, like if we want people to succeed and be able to get permits and to actually be able to advance their projects, that the sooner council can make this decision, the better. The better outcomes there will be if you do decide you want to have a incentive program, or sorry, another round of the incentive program. I think if council takes too long to make this decision, it just lessens the likelihood that that program will be successful. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we were just going through tacking it through. Building season, of course, comes upon us real quick. We need these folks to have permits by the end of the year, but if we want to give them a decent chance, because it's not just about the permits, they need to actually build by 2027, right, Jane? So they need to be like, well, at least they need to have got as far enough through that building, right, like to sort of meet the requirements for us to pay out the money. Right, like, and because they developed the incentive program sort of quite recently has some requirements there, they need to actually activate and do some actual building before we give them money. You get a little bit of it up front, right? But so we really ideally, right, these are people that are starting construction, like in an ideal world by the end of this summer, right, in order for them to be able to get substantially through. If they're only permitting in the winter and they're not starting their building, we'd worry about how far they would get through if they're not starting their building till 2027. So we want to really, like, because it's an accelerator fund, right, we're looking here to accelerate people. We were thinking, still going with, if some of you might recall, the incentives we did last year had like a bonus for getting your permit early. That actually worked really, really, really well. We ran that intake in September, right, Jane, for you?
We did, yeah. I think it closed October 8th.
October the 8th. We got all the administration done really quickly, working with your office there, and every single one of those applicants, right, got their permit by December the 31st,
They
right?
did.
So that whole process, right, of really accelerating them worked really, really well. They had that incentive to move fast. And so we'd really kind of like to repeat that. So to repeat that in our minds, we're thinking, okay, if we were to run this intake in May, right at the start of the season here, set them, close it in May, approve them again straight away, give them 3 months to get their permit, because they all got their permits within 3 months last time. That gets into the end of August, and then that gives them like they got September and October there if they had, to like start breaking ground and getting some work done, right? Like before things really kind of close down, and then lots more room to build in 2027. So when we were just kind of backing it up from our sort of deadlines, that's kind of like the kind of thing. So that would sort of require council to sort of make its decision this month.
Pretty much by our next council meeting.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Yeah.
So we could
Ideally.
potentially write up it, if you want to kind of go that way forward with another opening of the incentive program, which we highly recommend. However much you allocate to it, I highly recommend doing that because it has been successful. It's getting money directly, to the hands of local builders to support them building homes. Then, we could get it all written up ready for you, with the actual sort of policy write up, amendment, addendum type of thing, right? Like ready for you to consider at the next council meeting on the 21st.
Yeah, in which case the question really becomes more about do you want to just put out a theoretically like a $600,000 program, knowing in all likelihood you're not going to come even close to that full subscription, or do we want to be more calculated and put out maybe a $350,000 or $325,000 intake? And then you say you are anyways, so it's just some of the nuance around this decision. Sorry, you seem
Yeah.
had a question again, Justin.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I just want to jump in there. The great idea of the incentive program, I really liked it. It was ran really well. Everybody achieved that. I was wondering what your thoughts were on stacking that with a timeline that we're dealing with, an idea of the pre-made modular builds. If that was attached to the incentive because of the building season, if we were to maximize using the funding in allocating, like pushing that, they would receive more money if they submitted a building permit attached to a project that would be kind of timelined in that regard. So they proved to us that they're going with a modular system. The build time is XYZ or whatever. That gets them the full permitting, which we need to receive to get the next one. And I believe why that would work is because of the types of lots that are right now that people own. They're typically ready for something like that compared to excavating and dealing with that type of thing, or minimum excavating, right?
So is that sort of proposal to build in a sort of extra incentive to go with the manufactured kind of approach? Is that what? Yeah, I mean, honestly, this whole I would say, but I mean, say our action plan, right? Like, was highly built around hoping to see incentivize build experiment, with new building methodologies, right, and things like that, right? Like, so I think the more that we see and show and support, again, the better it would look at the end of the year, right? When they're reviewing, like, what did we achieve towards not just, action plan items, targets, goals of the whole half program. I think as well, potentially to support that, right? What we would be saying if we're the next stage of advancing the Lot 127 sort of staff housing kind of site. Right, would be to go to a sort of provisional tender process, right, by which, right, we would put out, right, like to manufacturers, right, to bring their proposals to the village, right. We did some work, right, with a potential proponent, but of course, given the amount of money, right, you're going to need to tender something out. From that, right, as well, there may be an opportunity, right, to sort of select a sort of preferred proponent to work with there and sort of add people could jump in on the potential of that, right? Like, so, and I think we could put that information out there and that kind of thing and help kind of promote that as part of that whole process, because we that the idea of the village sort of leading there was to help people identify and think and work with stuff. So I think there's some connections there that make that a great idea.
Yeah, that I like that. And maybe one approach that we could possibly add in there would be like something alleviating the cost of delivery if they were to purchase something like that.
So that could be an extra incentive. So we're not limiting it just to manufactured homes. We're saying we'll just add this extra incentive for that.
Yes.
Yeah, for that style of home or choice.
Yeah, it kind of opens it up. I agree with what Mark says. Kind of opens it up to people having more options to alleviate certain parts of their project compared to like a whole project as a whole, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, because times of definitely of essence here,
For
where we've
sure.
got to.
I
And I
think that
appreciate.
totally
Sorry.
works. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Actually, I appreciate what you were saying there, baby, about the properties actually too, because One of the concerns, what something we I know some of the other communities have struggled with, right, is in that they've been putting incentive programs out, but the lots are not available in their communities. It was a particular challenge in Haines Junction. So you see that there are some properties potentially around that we think there might still be some people there that got vacant property ready to go.
Do you have a sense of that,
Sorry,
Council, whether or not there
there
might
has
still be vacant
so
lots?
yeah, there is vacant lots. I can let council have a go at this if they feel free to go ahead.
Well, I know of somebody that was considering subdividing. They have a huge parcel of lots that they wanted to subdivide and sell off, but that process is really cumbersome and
Yeah.
so I don't see that happening within the next year.
Yeah.
Personally, I sit on two lots. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, huh, if I just tear down that garage on the side. But yeah, there are people that have very large lots or double lots in town. Yeah, it could be possible.
I think that we would be catching some of the ones that had bidded on some properties that have achieved in their building years, possibly is due this year. So I think we would capture a few of those as well.
Yeah, the one thing I say, I think it would be necessary a little bit with our promotional work that we would do around if you proceed with another intake, is that like this is a very unusual program, and I suspect highly unlikely to ever be repeated, right? Like in terms of the magnitude of money that the village has had within its discretion to sort of offer for housing and housing incentives and bonuses like this, it's unlikely that this kind of money would be repeated, like especially in a increasingly constrained sort of fiscal environment out there. There will always be some housing programs, but this one, your ability to direct the money as the village, like in this one, is very, very unusual, right? And you can really promote like to everybody that owns land, has ever thought about building, this is really is your moment if you want some significant and relatively easy to get assistance. Now's the time, and they push that message.
I agree, and I think that by allocating as much money as we can, that's my opinion, would be the better, because whatever the residual that's left over, then we could deal with that at that time. I really am in favor of that.
The other aspect that I just wanted to mention is we've been talking about sort of that individual homeowner scenario, and of course, that's just one part of the grant program. So those are the minor grants, basically people that want to put or build up to 4 units. And then, of course, there's the major grant part of the policy that you passed, and that is for 5 units or more. Just to give you a sense of that, I think Mark and I, and I'm sure you've sort of arrived at the same conclusion, feel that the CarMax Development Corporation is the only likely entity that can pull off a major housing grant. There's definitely some uncertainty about whether or not they really are ready, but we could continue to have those conversations in the hopes that perhaps they are in a position to at least get building permits for 5 or more units. So that option could also be played out until we determine there's, either something there or something not. In tandem with the individual homeowner with the minor grants. Any thoughts from other council members? I think we heard from the mayor's support for maybe putting out an intake that potentially offers up as much discretionary funding as possible and see what happens. Other thoughts?
I agree with the incentive program. Would it be the same as the last one? Or are people going to say, gee, I wish I'd waited?
Oh, like to make it better?
No, I'm just assuming it's going to be the same.
I think it should be the same, although I think to the mayor's suggestion of creating maybe a new incentive, I think
Right.
that could just be justified
Yeah.
by us saying we're also trying to encourage you maybe to consider housing projects that we have the most confidence in your ability to pull off basically by November 2027, because that's when the money needs to be spent.
I see. That's a good idea too, then,
Yeah.
probably.
I
Yeah, my
think it's
idea.
justifiable.
Yeah, my idea what to that was that it would be like the 7,500 bonus, which could still possibly be in there, but the other bonus would be that if you were to enter into one of these modular style builds that are executed by a timely manner or timeline that they're placed on your lot, that you would receive something even more, like alleviating the transportation cost or the placement cost or something that could be hired out locally or something like that even, right? So then, yeah.
That would be almost the same as our other waiving the fees for connections and the septic field or whatever.
Yeah, so I think what this next round could offer up is the same incentives that people had access to in the first intake, so in the fall, so which is $10,000 for servicing, and then up to oh gosh, am I forgetting the numbers? $40,000 for the actual home, plus $7,500 for the building permit incentive. And
The
then,
rapid one.
sorry, the
The rapid, that was for the fast.
yes, for the fast one. And then on top of that, some amount that helps to incentivize the manufactured home option. And I think to Mark's point, I think it would be great for people to consider the mobile home option. If that's not what they want to do, I think we still want to try to really motivate people to get planning as soon as possible, so that any scenario they choose has the best chance of them actually ending up with a home at the end of it. Like, what I think we want to avoid is people getting in over their heads, because technically the village isn't going to pay out the incentive until they can show that they're clad to weather or that they're actually have occupancy. But I think the council wants to try to be as try to make sure people are set up for success, not about, that money will never, you want that money to go out the door and actually help people get in homes. Question?
Sorry, I have to keep switching my screen to the microphone. So yeah, on that note, the proposed types of buildings that Mark and yourself put forward to us, if that could be shared with the public to say, like, these are the proposed building types that achieve these timelines, and this is why, and that's like kind of that way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through how we would do that. Or do you
So,
think
like,
we could simplify it and just say, we know that for conventional construction, usually you need this much time for this step, you'll need about this much time for that step, et cetera, et cetera. So that is why we are A, creating an incentive again for you to get that building permit soon. And B, if you are amenable to the idea, we're creating a new incentive to encourage you to consider manufactured homes so that you have the best possible chance of
but
succeeding.
there should be something in there that doesn't limit them to not stick building I guess based on the size and timeline. If they can prove that they're getting that done by meeting certain times of their inspections, then they should be able to achieve that.
Agreed. Yeah. I don't think we want to tell people they can't do stick built, because here's the worst case scenario that might happen. So let's say somebody goes after the incentive, they apply, they're approved, and they get the permit, maybe, on that accelerated timeline, and something happens and they just don't get around to finishing by next November. Technically, all the village will not have issued all of the funding to them that it committed. It's just the downside is that's one person that may never finish that home. It's one more potentially unfinished home in CarMax. And a kind of on the awkward side for the village is you won't know for sure that you have that money to spend yourself on, say, lot 127 or other things until pretty late in the game, which isn't ideal either. But
Okay.
worst case
Okay,
scenario is still not that bad.
so that raises the question, so should it be just focused on the pre-built style then, and limit them to that, like that, because that's what you're trying, like Mark had said, accelerate. This is how the accelerating path goes for you to get infrastructure or a structure of some a home built in this timeline. So that would be the purpose of that extra incentive specifically for that. So if they didn't want to enter that part of it, they don't have to apply for that part of the incentive. They could just go with the regular one.
Totally. Yeah. I don't know. That's my sense, Mark, that we leave it open and use the incentive to maybe get people to give manufactured homes more of a serious consideration than they might otherwise. But we don't tell them what
Yeah.
they have to build.
No, I mean, some people can go out there and build a house in a few months, right? I mean, a regular house, if it's a small house, I mean, they go out and they're done, right? Like, 600, 800 square foot, and they're done in a few months virtually, right? Like, so I don't think you have to. I think we're just justifying encouraging a little bit of a bonus for some more case studies, experimentation, examples of manufactured housing methodologies in the community that might get copied and replicated in the future, right? Because I mean, I don't know, there was 11 permits, there were 16 building permits in 2025, no, 2024.
24.
11 building permits, both of those were record numbers of building permits, right? They've never been seen before in CarMax. So I'm only guessing right now there must be a fair, I mean, I don't know who's building all these homes, but there must already be, like, quite a lot of demand for the local services and trades and whoever you can get there, right? Like, so that could be a challenge. But if some people are self-building, then they let them go do it, right? They could get done real quick. I mean, so we don't want to stop that, right? Self-build is one way to make things cheap in communities, right? So
Yeah.
yeah,
And
this is just one bonus to promote consideration of manufactured housing where people otherwise might not have done so.
And the other scenario that might play out is we had all of the first intake were primary dwellings. So the first dwelling to be on a lot. It would be really nice to see maybe in this second intake if we could get people thinking about secondary suites. So they've already got a primary dwelling on their lot. Maybe they have room for a garden suite or something like that. And so if we don't limit it to manufactured, again, we have there's more room for some of those other housing forms to bubble up as options.
I like it. I'm good.
Okay.
I also like it.
All right.
Yeah, it sounds great, and unfortunately we've got two council members away, but I think a decision will be able to be made officially by the next meeting, probably.
Okay. So just working through the mechanics, 'cause again, I guess we want to be prepared to hit the ground running as quickly as possible after council makes its decision. Would it help for Mark and I to draft an addendum to the policy that council could potentially adopt at the next meeting that's based on the direction we're getting.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Mark, any questions?
No, then we can pre-get all the forms and other bits and pieces ready too, right? And just be ready to go. And it'll be a great time of year. And I know, yeah, I don't know, we're going to think about when we can come to visit too, right, AJ?
Yes. Yes,
As
we
part
were
of that
supposed
process.
to come up. I'm
Part of
sorry,
that
my fault
process.
that we're not there tonight. But yes, they're coming for a visit soon.
I did have maybe a proposal that we, the village and yourselves, maybe put some type of thing on at the rec center that promotes the construction building season, and then we can showcase this, you know, new avenue of funding and what that looks like.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's a really good idea. And
Yeah.
maybe we can
Okay.
even invite a few of the first round recipients to speak about how the experience has gone for them so far.
I think that would be a really good timing because I know that some of them are probably pretty close to almost wrapping some of them up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. All right. Well, I think Mark and I have our marching orders then. Thank you, Council. We
Yeah, thank
will
you.
move forward with that and we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Don, thank
Thank
you.
you.
Okay.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Okay,
Mark. Thanks,
thanks
Mark.
everybody. Have a good night.
Good night. Okay, moving on. Correspondence, none. Council activity reports. Councilor Hansen. We had a meeting yesterday of the AYC to discuss resolutions. And from that, I don't think I've done very much the last couple of weeks. I'll go next because I also have done pretty much not. I did want to go and help with the Easter egg hunt, but I changed my mind at the last minute. But I heard it was wonderful. I had great feedback. But what day was it on? It was on Saturday. Yeah, I was away. Were we supposed to participate in the breakfast? I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't.
No, it was put on by I think it was hosted by LCFM. It was just held at the rec center. I see.
Thank you.
Mayor
Sorry,
LaChance.
it takes me a little second to hit the microphone there. Thank you, counselors. Yeah, I've been busy working with Blake and Prince in the office, just corresponding on flood mitigation and some emergency response planning stuff. I was out of town for the Easter egg hunt, but I did attend as the coach at the end of the year for the CarMax Minor Hockey at the rec center. We had all the kids there, all the parents there, had a pizza party, and we're planned for our AGM, so which is a public notice for the CarMax Minor Hockey Association. So if it's a call out to the public, the AGM is coming up. Check the website, check the postings. I believe it's May 4th at the rec center. So yeah.
I also just wanted to add, I won't be at the next meeting. I will be in the middle of the ocean.
Good for you.
But I should be back. I'm away from April 15th till May 4th. I should be back by our May 5th meeting, unless I'm stuck in Spain, which would not be horrible. I wouldn't be sad to be stuck in Spain.
Yeah,
Otherwise.
I'll just add in there that I am not present physically at the meeting today, but I am with the Canadian Rangers in Churchill, Manitoba, leading the Rangers in off their operation of Amarok, which was the Northwest Passage over 5,500 kilometers. So yeah, I get to welcome them into Churchill. It's a big achievement for not only Canada, but all the communities along the way. All the communities that have Ranger patrols in them all put part of helping being part of that team. So it's a big, yeah, it's an honor. So just noted that for you.
If you see a polar bear like up close and personal, please take a picture for me. Well, don't get too up close and personal, but yes. Because we do want you to come back.
I will do so. Thanks.
Nice. Hey, CAO report.
Well, it's a segue from sailing in Spain and polar bears up north. This is going to be a little dry compared, but yeah, I so I guess this well, the Council Strategic Planning Workshop is April 11th to 12th. So this weekend we'll talk more about that and later on in the agenda. Next regular meeting is April 21st. Basically continuing with the orientation, familiarization with projects, files, and systems, and correspondence with residents on various topics relating to the community. Most notably recently has been flood mitigation. There's been a lot of discussion with the community on that over the last little while. And it will continue. There's I guess on that topic, there's a meeting with EMO and LSC on Friday to talk about joint efforts on emergency response. Meetings of correspondence. There was a food security roundtable that was hosted by the Yukon Food Security Network over at the new fire hall, March 19th. In-person meetings with Yukon Department of Community Services. Had a number of those March 23rd and April 1st. There's been constant correspondence with LSC on a number of topics, ranging from public safety to emergency response, mostly just a lot of things following up from the joint council meeting. There's a meeting with Greenwood Engineering about project history overview. So they talked about a lot of the different projects over the last 10, 15 years. Half quarterly check-in on March 26th. And it sounds like from that there's going to be a CMHC workshop in Whitehorse leading up to AYC. So that'll be the first week of May. So there's, I think, a day or two in Whitehorse to talk about housing related things in early May. I took part in a webinar on April 2nd. This is a new addition to this on the Arctic Infrastructure Fund. There's a lot of funds that are open right now for opportunities for infrastructure development, program development, these kinds of things. So things that we can follow up on the next council meeting, but definitely some opportunities there. Had a meeting with Yukon University, the wastewater operator program, and there's discussions about potentially offering a course in October, November here in the community. So that would be for high school, secondary students. Could partner with different organizations, including LSC, potentially some of the mines that are operating. So there's, anyway, discussions with Yukon U about having a program delivered here on wastewater operator. There was also a community safety planning workshop that LSC hosted. So LSC is putting together a community safety planning initiative for its led by LSC, primarily for LSC, but also like with broader impacts for the larger community. This is a first stage of ne it's necessary prerequisite for getting a community safety officer, which a lot of First Nations have, and so this is part of the process. So I was able to feed in the village's perspective on that process. Identification of partnership opportunities, networking, and understanding LSCFN priorities. And then last week, I took part in the Coalition of Yukon Chambers Territorial Policy Convention. And thank you, Councilor Wheeler, for passing that on. It was good discussion topics relevant to the village, including energy, labor, investment, climate, and sort of some good takeaways from that, which I'm happy to share offline as well. So.
You've been busy.
It's been, yeah, 3 weeks back into.
Any questions or for Blake? No? Okay.
Very juicy. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
AOIC, I have nothing to report. AGM's coming. I'll be there, probably.
Sailing.
Yeah. Well, I land in Whitehorse on the 4th, and I'm not going back to work until the following Monday. So I plan on rejuvenating myself, relax for my relaxing before the AGM. Okay, moving on to bylaws. 7.1, the property tax bylaw. I do notice that there's quite a few of them here.
So, if I,
Yes, yeah.
yeah, so in discussions with the mayor, it was recommended that we provide three different copies. So one is the initial, the original, bylaw that was presented, the last council meeting, before the amendments. The second one is including the amendments. So the current one, which went through first and second reading, that was amended to have the commercial increase to 700 and the vacant property increase to 1,000. And then the third one is just the two categories. So just the residential, commercial, and the vacant. So it doesn't include a separate category for commercial.
Maybe we should open it up.
We'll make a motion that we give one of these property tax bylaws a third reading. So that is kind of the issue, is because it's substantial, like that's the main part of the bylaw, is like the amounts. So it would, if it differs from the first and second reading, it's not a true third reading.
No, it's the middle one, and then so you're making the motion for the one that has been last presented in the second reading. So if we make the motion to open that one up, then we can have the discussion and change what we would like to see happen there.
But usually on a third reading, any substantial changes are just to do the first and second reading again. If it's a, like, especially if there's substantial changes.
Well, we don't know until we have the discussion, so we had to open it up.
Yes.
So this first one is the way it was originally.
Yes, we'd have to decide which one we're giving the reading to first, because there's
No, you have to
versions,
give
right?
the middle one, which is the outcome of the second reading, to open that one. That's the one.
400, 700, 1,000.
That's the one.
Okay. And then the third one has, we still need the motions to open to
The
copy, right?
other ones are there just for your reference to have discussion.
Prince was just saying, still need to have a motion to open for discussion, if that's what
I did. I made a motion for the third reading.
for third reading.
Yeah, open that up, open it up for discussion, right?
You need to second it, or just...
I'll
Yeah, you need a
second.
second.
Like the way it is with the commercial, government, industrial.
I had a question on clarification. I don't have the paper right in front of me, but from what I recall reading earlier today, was that there was the percentage that you're reading on residential went to 1.45, and then there's one that went to 1.50. Can you clarify that?
Country residential is 1.45, and Urban residential is 1.5.
Can you tell me the reason why on the one that clarifies it at being 1.45, the purpose of that?
I think it was changed. It was not on my term, but I think it was changed because country residential doesn't have the services. Urban
So is this
residential is
a
just really downtown. So it's
Yeah,
like,
so the just wondering why there was two different. Is this 1.5 the percent that it's going up the 0.5%? Just
no,
any
it's
clarification?
been 1.5 forever. It's been 1.5 for quite a while. Yeah, 6, 7 years. Because their
So
country
why?
residential went down to 1.45 a few years ago.
So this is when we did our structured Okay.
Yeah, nothing, the rate's
Our
not going up.
tiered,
It was.
this is complementing the tiered system is what I'm reading, right?
Yeah.
Prince, can you pull up the one that it is on right now so I could see it? It's hard for me to see what's going on there.
This is the one that has been done with the first and second reading.
With the three different
Okay.
categories.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. My discussion on that, I had a question regarding if there was a change on the unimproved, speculative, and vacant real properties. The 2%. Is that equal to the 1,000? Like, how can you explain that piece to me on the percentage of the total assessment if there's nothing on there? Like, it's not really clear to me, like, which deciphers, which gets implemented one over each other.
I don't understand what you're asking.
So, like, it says that $1,000 for other taxable, unimproved, speculative, and vacant real properties, like, but then you have the provided under 62 of the Act, a minimum tax shall be applied when the percentage rate applicable under Section 345 results in the amount less than that. But you're saying shall be levied upon unimproved is the 2%.
And what is sections 345? Is that of the Municipal Act or what?
It doesn't state what part of the act it is, but I'm
Which, or is
assuming.
it 4 point, it should say 4.3. Oh, sections, yeah,
It should be 4 point, yeah, 4.2, 4.3, whatever it is, 4.2. Right? Because yes. It's of our own bylaw. That we're doing. Yes.
That's right. It
So
should
it'll be
state.
4.1, 4.2, 4.3, or 4.4. Right? Yeah. Okay.
So I think this year is just a
Good point, Justin.
The other discussion that is the clarification on the 2% of the total assessment compared to the $1,000. Can you clarify what the 2% of if it's undeveloped and the minimum being 1,000, is that equal to the 1,000?
No,
Or is like that's what I'm not clear on. Like we're saying, you shall be levied upon at the 2% of the total assessment on undeveloped speculative vacant lots. But then you're saying the minimum is 1,000. So are like.
If 2% of the assessment is
Is
less
less
than
than
a
a
thousand,
thousand,
you pay a
you
thousand.
pay 1,000.
Okay, I get you.
It's just those sections are wrong. They should be 4.1234.
Yeah.
Four. Okay.
And can you clarify in that other one what the it's a $400 minimum right now on undeveloped and unimproved speculative vacant lots right now. I can't see the proposed one versus the actual one. I know I read it today a few times there, but just want to clarify this is a brand new line item under there for undeveloped, speculative, and vacant real properties.
It's a hike from 350 to 1,000, when we propose 700 last in the draft one, the before first and second reading, we
We
propose
propose,
700,
right.
but last meeting we discussed it, so the discussion was that, oh, we need three category, like one 400, 700, and 1,000.
Right. So when I'm reading this one, it's kind of doubling down on the non-residential, commercial, and industrial real properties. Like it's kind of like a default of doubling it up. It sounds like we should just have it all under.
We charge them a higher tax rate too.
Yeah.
So they do get treated differently. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's pretty clear to me.
So I did have someone approach me that has a big chunk of property that if this passes, they will not be subdividing. So because they do not want to pay $18,000 for property tax. Because they can't subdivide and sell quick enough to.
Well, they'll be under country residential. They'll only be $400.
No, because it would be empty lots. It'd be speculative and vacant real properties.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
Because they're
interesting.
just blank lots.
Well, maybe there should be just can you maybe clarify this for me, Blake or Prince? If there's a line in here that would say that if they were to subdivide within that tax year for potential development, that they would not be subject to that in that year. It gives them time to develop the property or sell the property that they're trying to achieve something there for
So
alleviating the
we can,
pressure.
yes, we can do that because we are already doing the 10 properties that did get the building permit, but they still have to build the houses. So we will let the YG know that all these 10 properties that are with the half funding right now, so they will be charged with whatever are like not like the minimum 1,000 or like as they are empty right now, but whatever
Yeah.
the assessment, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, even if somebody's not tied into a half funding or a type of program, if they wanted to subdivide to alleviate the pressure of building in the community, that they wouldn't be subject to paying the minimum for that tax year. It gives them time to do something with the properties, is what I'm saying.
It's also a substantial change, though, too, and we can't actually, I don't think we can add that to a third reading.
She'll only get charged 400 for residential. That's all other tax on. That's other than residential,
That's
country residential, commercial, government, or industrial, which I don't know what other ones there are.
so the $400 would be like a really like you have something with a little shack on it,
It's just math.
and it's assessed, and it's only $380 in taxes. So minimum is 400. If there's nothing on it, that would be the unimproved, speculative, and vacant. If there's nothing, is what I see it as.
How much would it do? How much develop? How much?
85.
85. So, I mean, to the other question about could they have a year to take a year to do the subdivision, everything like that? If they were just able to get the development permit, then wouldn't that negate the need to take that extra time? Because
It might.
the development permit would buy you enough time for, I think it's good for a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of spending 85 instead of 1,000. I think, I mean, one of the questions also that came up before was, so will revenues from the increases go towards half project and housing projects? And the answer is yes, they will. So, I mean, ultimately, that is a big project for the village, and so any tax increases like this would go towards housing projects. We could, and then the other piece too is just we do need to, there's other piece to consider just in the council's consideration is that the reporting, we do have to submit reporting on this by April 15th, right? So if we aren't able to do third reading tonight, we'd have to call a special meeting to do a third reading of whatever is revised and make that municipal act deadline.
I'm kind of in favor of maybe tabling it. I'd like to hear other people's thoughts, maybe to get the rest of the council here.
I still think it's too big of a jump in a year. Yes, it's not going to affect people who have homes per se, but there are people that own chunks of land that they should develop. I should be building something too. Can't. I should be building a suite too.
I think so. I think there is a direct tie-in to what's happening with the HAF project as well, too, in terms of developing the need to develop lots in order to access that last payment of HAF funding. I think it's there are two kind of two directions on this. One is incentivizing development of undeveloped lots. And being able to access that capital. The other is not increasing taxes and having, there's no incentive for people to develop if there's no incentive for people to develop. So it's, something that administration's talked about in terms of, what the overall goal is, I guess, in terms of the vision for housing development. And it is difficult because I think a lot of this would probably come up at the strategic planning session ultimately, but yeah, it is a tough line to walk.
I'd make the motion that we table this for a special meeting while the whole committee of the council is there.
I'll second your motion to table. Okay. All in favor to table to for a special meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we have to have it done by the 15th, you said? So
special meeting has to happen in a week from today.
Okay. So pretty much by
just in your homeland?
13th.
I'll be back the 13th.
I could do a quick Zoom on the 15th at night too, or the 14th. Like, could quickly.
14th. Sorry, the deadline is 15. We have to send on 15th.
I would say that I'll make a motion that we have a special meeting for the bylaw for taxation, on the 14th.
I'll second that.
But if there's major changes, we'd have to have all three readings again anyway, because any substantial changes should have been discussed in first and second reading. Third reading, yeah. So
all the three readings
can't do all three
readings. No, so that is the issue. Is I think all the discussion happened already, honestly. It should have happened in first and second reading.
And that's where we came up with these amounts.
Are you able to? Yeah, I mean.
So we could chime in
here. I could chime in here that we're still under discussion, that I could make the motion that we sustain to the original bylaw of taxation for the fiscal year of 2026 as was previously ran in taxation year 2025.
Yes.
If that's the direction, then we should notify Jane and Mark that there's not a lot of hope to go for that fourth segment of funding.
It's because nobody's incentivized.
But it is an option for council.
Well, I don't like the idea of leaving it the same because nothing else has stayed the same.
Is it possible to do an introduction of the first and second reading of a new one tonight and then have a third reading?
I think so.
No. No, you'd have to amend the bylaw or amend the agenda, which is not. It's already started. Can't do that.
Yeah. And it has to be public, I think, 48 hours before them.
Yeah. And we don't have enough
time. I would say we can change the rate. That was the discussion, right? So maybe
the discussion was the rate, yes.
Yeah, keep the three categories that we did with first and second reading and just negotiate the rate, basically. What everybody wants. It has to be like increased that we agreed, but how much to be increased, that we can change, I think. I
mean, you're just changing the numbers right now. The 400 is basically stable where it is. It's the other two numbers that are concerning to the residents to alleviate some possible of building in the future and holding property. That's what you're more than doubling the vacant lot one. That's
no,
the question.
No, it was $700 last year, wasn't it?
No,
it was $350. No.
It's 350. So my suggestion is that you only add a certain percentage to that number, and it will have to drop that percentage on the non-residential, commercial, government, industrial, real properties. That's the only move that we have here.
We aren't able to change the three categories. We have to keep the same three categories, but we can change the rates, correct?
I think so.
That's right.
Yes. So what I would suggest, like not doubling it up, 400, 600, 800.
I mean, honestly, just from a recommendation point of view, low off doing an increase but at a reduced rate like that is a middle, like it is a compromise. It's a middle of the road approach. And to address some of the concerns that have been raised in terms of not having enough time for engagement and whatnot, there has been notification given in terms of an increase. This kind of in this could address this meets it halfway in the sense that it's not going as far. It's a minor increase, but if it's depending on the direction that council wants to go in terms of the viewpoint on vacant properties, it's I think it was mentioned before to be able to give a year's notice of a more substantial increase. So going part of the way, but not all the way, does achieve that goal.
Okay, so I can I'm going to call another. I'll rescind the motions that I made previously about the special meeting and about tabling, and then I'll make a new motion to accept this with the amendment of the dollar amount for minimum taxable rate on the to be $600, or sorry, yeah, $600 on taxable non-residential, commercial, government, industrial, real properties, and $800 for all other unimproved, speculative, and vacant real properties.
Yeah, that's a good compromise.
The other piece too is what Mark and Jane were saying is that there can be incentives added to that as well too, to kind of reduce the impact of the increase. But I think it is a middle of the road approach by lowering the rates from what they were proposed in first and second reading.
Did you want to second that, Doris?
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Okay, so as is on the version two after first and second reading,
Yes.
with the changes of $400, $600, $800.
Yeah.
Any other discussion or concerns, questions? What you're thinking, Doris?
I still don't understand the wording of unapproved. Gone. I don't get it, but that's okay.
Oh, did we fix the typo? Sorry, just remember that.
Where was the typo?
Sections three,
Oh,
four.
yes, as well as the typos about
The
the
sections.
sections. Yes.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for the.
So
Can I
I would
hear?
like to add one thing. So it's like it was like that for a couple of years or so many years. And as administration, we don't even know
Cognitize.
that what it is gonna be the look like, the property taxes. So we will work with YG's property tax assessment. So when they prepare the tax for each properties that they prepare with us, and they send us all the copies.
Yeah.
So if we want to, because at the end of the day, it's not like they will say, oh, you have to pay here, then they have to pay. It's up to the municipality what we like, how we do that change, or how we can see that how it's affecting us. So we will still have a little bit room, I guess.
Can I hear from Councillor Hansen about the question she had regarding the amounts, or I didn't quite catch that, Councillor.
No, I just. Taxable residential and country residential, that makes sense. Taxable non-residential, meaning commercial, government, and industrial real properties. But what are all other taxable unimproved speculative?
If there's nothing done to the property. So But what untaxable would be like Northwest Hills property is not taxable.
Mostly,
YG isn't
yeah.
taxable. It's like grants in lieu because they're not taxable properties. That's what I think. Is that right? So if there's nothing done to it, no clearing, no well drilled.
No, there's basically if there's no permit, development permit tied to the property.
So we should say that the first one should be for all developed taxable residential, country residential, and the second one should be for all developed non-residential, right? Because it doesn't explain it.
Taxable residential and country residential with improvements would be the first one.
Yeah.
Because the improvements can be just
Yeah, I know,
clearing some
but it
trees,
has to
right?
be,
So it's not developed, but it's
but 2% of it has to
with
be less than
improvements.
$400.
Sorry, just let's make sure we're not getting off of.
Do you see why I'm confused? Does anybody else see why I'm confused?
It's I do hear you, Councillor Hansen. I think that from what you're reading, if you read above on the just above that prints where it says there shall be levied upon the taxable, that's where it's kind of explaining what the property is, and that's where it would state that like it is developed to a point where when they YG does the assessment, this is what it's based on. It's already a developed property there. That's where it falls under that. There's a house on it. So it just needs to coincide with what the clarification of this is a residential property with a house on it. This is what it falls under. This is a commercial or non-residential commercial government one. This is the minimum if it doesn't have the development on it. And a development means that it doesn't have a permit tied to it.
Okay, then the last one is all other. And what
Yeah,
other
so
categories are there?
any properties that have no development on it, so it's just kind of including everything as an umbrella, that if you do not have a development on a property, that this would be then the minimum.
Or a development permit pulled.
Or, yeah, there's nothing tied to the property.
I would like to add all the most of them. I would say the 100 that will cover three. Their minimum tax will be the assessment is only $15,000, and the 2% of that is only 300. Some of the properties are only assessed 8,800, like empty ones. So they will only pay $100 or 150 to keep the property.
Right.
Look, we're on.
That's where
Of
this is why
yeah,
we're
of
hurt.
course. Yes. Okay.
It also, I think, in a way afforded to having the middle column for commercial and government also encourages more commercial development and potentially encourages YG to create some office space.
Or anybody, any government.
Or yes, yeah.
And the second one is mostly affecting the agencies.
Yeah, the agencies.
Yes.
That's true.
Motion still on the table for an all in favor.
Any other questions, Doris?
I still, are we still, are we going to
Call the
say
vote.
with development or without, or just leave it the way it is?
I think we could leave it the way it is. It has the
So if
it
they
has it up on the definitions of unimproved speculative vacant means no improvements assessed or development permitting timeline have elapsed. It's in the definitions. Okay, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that one's carried. Moving on to our annual operating budget, bylaw 325-26. Yes. I have a question about the Housing Accelerator Fund. We have it as income and then we have it as expense. What are we planning to spend it on?
To give it out to
All in grants?
all in grants.
Okay, thank you. Okay, can I get a motion for third reading?
I'll make a motion that we give the annual operating budget bylaw for 2026 third and final reading and pass it.
Seconder?
I will second that.
Okay, any questions, comments?
I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving on to the capital budget. 326-26.
I'll move that we give bylaw 326-26 of bylaw being the Village of Carmack's capital budget for the year 2026, third and final reading and pass.
Seconder?
I will second that.
Okay. Any questions, comments on the capital budget? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so Justin's hand passed. Moving on to bylaw 321-25, the landfill service rates bylaw. Can I get a mover for that bylaw, please?
I can move that.
I'll second it.
Okay, any questions, comments? I have to say, I hate going to the landfill, but they're so wonderful there. They
Aren't they?
I'm like, everything's changed. They're like, you don't have to drive over the scale. They're like, how many bags do you have? They're just so nice.
They are the very
Yeah,
kind.
that'd be wonderful.
I'll pass that on.
Yeah.
So there's just only one change. We add the S12 under schedule.
Oh, end of life vehicles.
Oh, that's a good price.
That is a good price.
It's not
Fully
including the
drained of
tires.
Yes.
You read the definition.
Okay, S12 vehicles end of night life. It's per vehicle, $925. Must be fully drained of all fluids, oil, fuel, coolant, brake fluid, etc. Battery removed, tires removed, or charged separately. Electric and hybrid vehicles not accepted, and loads not meeting requirements will be refused.
Yeah,
That's
or
good, simple wording. Easy for the landfill attendants to follow.
does it really need to say removed or charged separately? Can it just say removed, period? Or is that because they have to get it there?
Well, we do have a charge for tires on rims.
I'm just trying to clarify the fact that A, somebody might have to bring it there, so it needs tires on. Then they would like how does that work? Because you can't get a vehicle there, unless it's on a flat deck, and you know what I mean? So
So, I
you're
would
not
say the
letting
question.
somebody take the tires off inside the compound based on liabilities, so something has to change on that part of that.
We could charge them for the tires and take them off ourselves, I guess. That's what this is implying.
This.
Good catch, man.
I would just say that it's included because based on delivery, like, I mean, or an extra, you just say, I wouldn't say or charge separately. I'd say there should be a verbiage in there that says will be charged separately.
Tires must be removed or will be charged
Separately.
additionally charged.
Yeah, it can't say or. You can't have that in there because then you're opening up the window of like, well, do I have to pay or not? They will be charged separately. That's what you're stating.
Yeah.
So one question. Do they need anything before surrendering the vehicle, like from DMV, or it just?
I don't think so. I don't know.
What are you asking, Prince?
If they need anything from like the motor vehicles.
Like when you dis when you get rid
Yeah.
of a car? I don't
Yeah.
know if you like you're talking about like signing the back of the information sheet, like the year registration.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be the other way
Over.
around? Wouldn't DMV want something from the landfill?
That could, like, if it's like they need something from DMV first that they are sending in a vehicle, then DMV will cancel their registration and stuff, and
So we know that that
so that
vehicle's.
they cannot drive to
Yeah.
landfill.
Maybe it's something we follow up on just to double check. But
We can go away. Yeah.
that can be an amendment later.
Yes.
This is third and final reading, but it's going to be
It's
tougher to make an amendment later on. It would.
in the schedule too, so schedule is not,
Yeah.
it's the fees and services schedule.
I think we already
I maybe
mentioned the
you can
bylaw.
maybe you can put a line in there without changing everything, like a big major change, that to say that all legal paperwork that is required to be submitted must be done so with us receiving a copy.
Then we can amend the schedule. It's under 10.1 that means we don't have to wait 1 year or so.
Nah, I don't think you need to do, that's necessary. I think you just need to put a line in there that states that the Village of CarMax isn't responsible for the paperwork that is in receivership of the vehicle that the owner is.
Well, I bet you there's a lot of vehicles that people want to get rid of that they don't have paperwork for because they've just been abandoned on properties.
I think all you have to do is take the plate and if you
Yeah.
refund, basically. I've never had to
Yeah.
take vehicles. I'm
It's
just
just
thinking,
it's
of course, at the end of
it's
Ptarmigan Road, there's kind of a vehicle graveyard. I bet you there's no paperwork for any of those vehicles.
well,
And it would be nice to get rid of them.
it's just a line item that needs to be added that we're not responsible for the legal part of the paperwork trail. Like
Yeah.
that's all you have to add in there.
Yeah.
You'll accept any vehicle, or you're just not responsible for
Yeah.
the paperwork.
Not liable
So,
for, yeah, it might be stolen.
Yeah. Yes, my
yeah.
question was the next question.
That's what I would. That's what all I
Who's
would
going to
add
pay
in
almost
there.
$1,000 to get to dump a stolen vehicle in a, if there's a body in the trunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that has been used in any investigation or something, some people will pay
Yeah.
1,000 rather than
Yeah.
claim $100,000.
Yeah.
I would just put that line in there. I would make a motion to add a line under. It's hard to see what you have there, but it's there must be a line up in your definitions that say the liability of vehicles and the paperwork is levied upon the owner or
Yes.
the shipper.
But we will still deal with that customer, whoever is bringing the
Yeah.
vehicle
Yeah,
and take the
you.
VIN number, Brett
Yeah.
will go.
Yeah, all that's fine. It's
It's
just a liability
them.
thing that you're not responsible for paperwork, is what I'm trying to get at here.
Okay. No.
Okay. Typical on that. He made a motion to add an amendment. Can I get a seconder on that amendment?
Yeah.
And then all in favor of bylaw 321-25?
Aye.
With the friendly amendment?
With the friendly amendment?
Aye.
Okay. Moving on. New and unfinished business, CPI wage increase for 2026.
So this was added. Finance recommended that we have this. I guess this is done every year.
Yeah.
So this is for a motion to approve.
Okay, it looks like the CPI increase recommended is 3.2%. And it would be retroactive to January 1st, I believe.
That's great.
Is it?
April 1st. Yeah.
I thought it's usually till January.
I make the motion we open up the CPI wage increase for 2026 for discussion.
Okay, could I get a seconder?
A second.
So, you're saying it's April 1st?
Because the White House introduced EPRA first.
Okay.
The CPI.
Yes. Okay, because we always did January before, because it's like the tax time.
You're making me think of
that. And I know LSCFM does January because I got retro pay to January.
We're
separate from that.
Do you know the answer to that one, Chris?
I would say it's April 1 as the opening. As White House, let us know that it's 3.2.
Yeah, because usually it comes from YG.
Yeah, because you don't hear about it until later, but then it's retroactive.
It's up to council, basically.
January.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it.
Up to your discretion.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we move to the 2006 wage scale increase for CPI to approve 3.2% retroactive to the date of which it may be. Yeah.
Can I get a seconder?
Just an experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second that. It just says implemented each year in our bylaw. It doesn't say at what time, but it says pay equity scale will be updated annually by the DEC over DEC. CPI for Whitehorse. I don't know what that means, DAC over DAC.
I think it means that scale of what you're looking at.
Okay.
The motion that I made is to increase the
to whatever
wage increase.
Did last year?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just retroactive to whatever administration will find the date that it needs to be, would be my motion that it be retroactive to that date.
Okay.
Yes.
No second note.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll have to be January or April.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Flood risk assessment.
So there's been, I had a meeting, just an introductory meeting with the emergency response coordinator for this region, Colin O'Neill. And he's really, really high. We talked a lot about what community needs, as well as what to expect in terms of just roles and call when an emergency happens. So We're doing a more in-depth meeting this Friday in the community. So,
Did you want me to attend?
if so, I had asked, it's over at LSE. They said it's primarily operational,
Okay.
but they did say that we're going to record it for leadership, so they'll be like, it will be accessible that way, and there will be a follow-up that's kind of more kind of in tune
Okay.
for leadership. So this one's kind of more technical on the
Okay, I'm
technical.
just asking so I could juggle things around.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate
Things
that.
that I see over there.
Appreciate that. But yeah, so it's, I guess, the to in a nutshell, it's there will be more information coming this week in terms of what we what the flood assessment is. They're still kind of determining that right now. It is the snowpack is elevated, is higher than average. But the other two parts of that triangle that are still kind of TBD are the level of groundwater, which in past last at least last year was anecdotally fairly low, but
I honestly think our groundwater this year is extra low because I know of at least three people whose wells are almost dry.
okay.
They are having difficulty getting water. They have so I would say our groundwater right now is extremely low. Since I have someone at my house showering every couple days grabbing water. Like,
That's
yeah.
good. Yeah.
It, yeah.
And then the other piece is just the rate of melt. So I mean, depending on how
How fast it warms up if it rains.
that'll be a big factor as well too. The other one that's a bit of a wild card with this is the thickness of ice and the potential for ice jamming. The last, you know, just talking with the public works guys, there's the they measured it's 10 feet of ice in the river right now, or at least it was before the melt started, so as of a week ago. So that's,
A lot.
yeah, so that there's and different depending on who you talk to, different people, different stories. You know, a lot of people have been here for a long time and have different perspectives on what to expect, but it's expect the unexpected, I guess, is right now. But we will get kind of a more informed update from EMO on Friday, especially in terms of just the sequence of things, how things should play out when once there is an emergency. The big question right now is just what to do to prepare for that emergency in this period, right? We have been doing, I will say that there's been a lot of discussion with staff. So the mayor has been actively engaged in a lot of those conversations. A number of contractors in town, we've been talking with them, actively involved with public works. Just got a so Jen's just provided an inventory of all everything that we have for supplies in terms of responding to potential flood. And then it's just a matter of cross-referencing that with YG to determine kind of what is we need beyond that, and just making sure that all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed for getting access to things like sand, sandbag machine, these kinds of things. And also just working collaboration with LSC, which has been great. As a follow-up to the joint council meeting about a month ago, I've been working with Kelly on that, and they've shared their emergency plan with me, and I've offered to do the comparison between LSC's emergency response plan and the villages, and to see if we can come up with some options for closer collaboration and more efficiencies. So,
I also mentioned to the school to share their emergency plan with both the Village of CarMax and LSCFM because they name different agencies, but those agencies don't know that they're part of the school's emergency plan. Like it's kind of, it's important. I didn't know that this building is their emergency building. Well,
Maybe
yeah, so they should be sharing with the
just
RCMP
an
with
important question.
Justin. Yeah.
Hi, thank you, Prince. Just a clarification on actual factual numbers of groundwater, ice density, that stuff. Can we have that actually posted from YTG or EMO on what those are, just because we don't want to speculate on numbers. We want to have the factual report. So,
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I should, yeah, good point. I should clarify that that was anecdotal, the fact that there was 10 feet of ice. So, yeah, we'll request that from YG when we meet. That's all for that
okay. Well, we will see. That's flooding's always fun. It was not a fun 2 flooding years, so let me tell you. Okay. I have this letter of request, but I see village communication with the community is next.
Yeah, so just to follow up from the last meeting, so I referenced the need for greater communication on a number of topics, and so we talked about kind of creating a structure around that. So there is progress made on that. It is slow progress just because there's a lot of different files to that are being actioned right now, and there's been a lot that's been kind of squeezed in the last 3 weeks. But I think the big thing is making sure that the information that we're putting out is updated, that it's informed, that it's complete. And so, what I will say is that working with administration, we have been able to find the templates for past newsletters, for example. And what we've been discussing is having kind of a quarterly newsletter update that we can send out digitally and probably in a paper copy at the post office as well too. I guess what I would say is, I think that this will be an evolving thing, and I think that there's going to be a need for probably like not just one communication strategy from the village, but a few of them. It's something that I want to talk with recreation, for example, about making sure that things are updated in terms of events and things that are happening, as well as, I think it's going to be a need for different topics such as what we talked about with housing. Everything that we were talking about with the Housing Accelerator Fund, there's really great, I think, a need, but also an opportunity for potential public relations, like an actual campaign and materials to be able to really kind of connect with residents and make sure that we're getting the right information out. And then also just like, yeah, landfill, these kinds of things. So that's, but yeah, there are things.
I don't know if it's worth me being here for you guys.
Oh, no, welcome.
Well, yeah.
Bye.
But that is, yeah, that's all for that piece. I guess I have to say things are in the works on that, and you should see something out and about before the next they presented at the next council meeting or in the community for the next council meeting.
We're on new and unfinished, so you don't even have to worry about that part.
Yeah, there's only one letter.
Okay, sorry.
We're way down here.
No. You're doing an important part for the community, Dennis. And since you're here, I'm assuming it's not that
I'll explain after.
bad. Okay. 8.4, Yukon Quest request.
Yeah, so this is an inquiry to that I wanted to pass on to seek your counsel on this, your advice. So this came in from the Yukon Quest about a week ago. They are so some with the Trail Planning Committee for the Yukon Quest wanted to touch base regarding their interest in including Carmacks as a destination slash stop on the race route. As part of our early planning, we're looking to understand local capacity and identify a potential station manager who could act as the primary point of contact and liaise between the Quest and CarMax. I wanted to ask whether you're aware of any individuals or organizations in CarMax who might be interested in taking on that role, or whether you could provide the Quest with any advice on something like this. At this stage, we're primarily gathering initial interest and would be happy to provide more information or discuss the role in more detail. So, just wanted to put it there for any thoughts from council.
I thought Dale and that dude over at the camera.
Dale and the Samantha apparently are not coming back.
Oh, they're not coming back this year.
And this is not the River Quest, like the
this is the Yukon Quest.
Oh, the Yukon Quest is coming back. Oh,
maybe.
Oh, I thought that was
so. Cool. I'm assuming it's a whole new board that doesn't know that CarMax was always a stop forever until they moved it to Teslin. I will just put in my 2 cents that it used to be great, and then the communication between the Quest folks and the community really fell apart.
When Alda got involved, it all went to heck.
Yeah, it. Doris was a big part for 1 year and worked her butt off, like 24
hours. Several years.
Like 24 hours a day. She like didn't sleep, just lived up there.
2006
yeah.
to 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I shouldn't say it fell apart with Folder, but after Folder, that's when a lot of seemed like the volunteers that volunteered for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of didn't get called back.
Yeah, anymore. It was difficult to find volunteers. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's managed to make it work somehow.
Yeah. The Public Works did a great job of
preparing
it. They knew that everyone was coming. They prepared it. The Rangers got the trails already, the local Rangers. So it's been done here for many years. Like the people, there's knowledge. Like people know what to do. I don't know who.
The one thing I will say again, so if we have a say, and they do, they are not allowed to use our skate rink the current rink for holding their food if it comes during the bond field and whatnot. That made such a mess of our ice through the years. They were storing their food out there, right, and they came through right during the bond.
Or when they flushed a whole bunch of dog food down the toilet. That was horrible.
Or the dog
I crap. I could be their liaison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that again.
The dog crap that they backtracked through, the poor kids upstairs.
Maybe you can provide some of these historical details of things that they should prevent as well, too, if they're coming back.
Yeah.
You know. Thank you. Appreciate that. I can put you in touch if that's all right.
Get my contact information.
Okay, Justin.
We'll do.
Hi there. I'd just like to welcome the letter of support from Yukon Race. It's been many years of everybody in the community of CarMax putting energy into this actually surviving so many years. I know that they're going through difficult times right now, but based on the village's position, I think that the least we could do to support something that's been for generations would to be open up our facilities as we have in the past to support them in that capacity. But as a community, and when we're talking about the safety of the community, is just as long as they're in line with those priorities, we support them fully. Yeah.
We would give them free access to the refrigerators.
No, it's just the access that we've always offered up, or they schedule to rent or to whatever those needs are. Whether that be like an allocation of setting up pylons for them to achieve that, it all comes with them scheduling that with the village.
I think what you were asking is they use the facility for free all the time.
Is that what we're going to do? Let them use the rec center for free, or will we charge them the daily rate?
I believe that should be a discussion for council in regards to fees and services bylaw. And maybe we could bring that forward in another council meeting to kind of look at, maybe not generally on specifically the Yukon Quest, but in general to any users. Rather that be, we look at the non-for-profit and what that looks like.
I'm just saying, in the past, it's always been free.
I'm acknowledging the fact that possibly in the past this stuff was for free, but now we've recently had bylaws and policies passed that represent things that are for non-for-profit and for users of the facilities that we operate. So maybe we just want to check to have that brought to council so that we're in line with those priorities.
Thanks. Anything else? Okay, 8.5, the request for letter of support for the city of Whitehorse.
So this letter came in from the Fire Smart team, from the City of Whitehorse's Fire Smart team, and they're doing a Yukon Community Development Fund application for establishing a shared tool repository that can help residents, well, not residents, but help Yukoners, because it's open to community groups as well as communities to access tools for helping with fire smarting in their communities. And it's so it's there they said that there will be the ability for communities to be able to access and pick them up and kind of use them as a library almost. And so they're looking for a letter of support for this application.
Okay, any comments?
Sounds like a really good idea.
I didn't think I had a problem with it, but I'm only one.
Justin?
It was, is this specifically to Whitehorse? Like, I'm unsure of why they're asking the Village of Carmats.
It's based in Whitehorse. Yeah, it's based in Whitehorse, but they're opening it up for community groups as well as communities as well too. So it can be for it's Yukoners. It's tools are for Yukoners in general, so people can
Yeah,
access
but
them as long as they bring them back.
I would like to see what that how that aligns with maybe some of our fire smarting or clearing of land, like what that looks like. I'd like to see what their policies and how it aligns with our bylaws and policies, because excuse me, they're asking if somebody could use tools basically outside of the realm of them having a permit to.
Well, it says that they're just seeking letters of support from partners who recognize the value of this initiative and its potential impact on community safety, and that our letter would help demonstrate broad community alignment and strengthen the application.
So it's not like fully developed, it's just the idea of this.
No, it's just us supporting the
And it's just
application.
for hand tools and stuff. It's not for loaders. So,
Yeah. If they want to lend out a bunch of their tools. Especially we have the kids that come here, or the rugged apprentices, borrow a bunch of the hand tools
yeah.
to do rugged apprentice stuff.
I mean, from an indirect point of view too, you could look at it as like I think this is just look the way that I read the request, it sounds like it's just high level support for fire smart initiatives.
Yeah.
That's why I read it. I didn't read it as boring or anything else
Yeah.
other than just a letter of saying us communities support this project.
I think if the project goes forward and it gets off the ground, but I mean, I can definitely reach out to them and find out what it would mean in terms of accessing the tools and how it would align with our village bylaws and whatnot. But yeah, I think this is just kind of in general, just to kind of get the have the application go through.
Okay, in that regard, I give my full support.
Okay. Make motion that we write a letter of support for the city of Whitehorse CDF funding application.
Seconder?
Oh, I'll second it. I thought you were saying you're seconding it.
Well, you missed the first part where I got appointed as the chair.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah, so all in favor?
Bye.
Okay. Upcoming DMAF engagement.
Yeah, so this has been something that's been on talked about a lot. Both the council and the joint council. We have a window of possibility for this engagement from April 20th to April 30th. So we're still waiting to hear back from Infrastructure Development Branch in terms of when they're bringing people out for the engagement. But it will be within that time, that window. We should be hearing back in the next day or two. In discussions with Kelly. We've been talking with as per the joint council meeting, been kind of we've been following the direction given there, where we've been providing recommendations of what would work for the community from a community-wide engagement as opposed to just engaging council. It took a little while for that. I think it took a little bit of time for that to, I guess, resonate with IDB in terms of just the need to engage with the whole community on this project as opposed to just leadership. So we've been outlining kind of just the need to answer questions that community members may have about this project and how it would impact their property and kind of thoughts that they would have about kind of the scale, the scope of this project. So we're looking at a probably the rec center for a venue. We still have to nail this down with the rec team. But we still, again, I'm still waiting for a date on this one. But the idea is that they would come out for a probably a they're planning for a full day, half day slash full day session to do a full engagement with the community on this, to answer any questions that people have.
I would recommend like an afternoon to evening thing so you can get people, because nothing drives me more crazy. Like, oh, we were there. And it's like during the day. We were there from 10 to 4.
So I was
Yeah.
there from 10 to
Lovely.
4.
That's great.
Yeah.
But yes.
No, that's good feedback.
So yeah, afternoon into the evening as the full day.
Good point.
Yeah. I can pass that on for sure. And once they give us a few dates to choose from, I can also I'll just put that out to you as well too to provide the update. But it's looking like this is as they were saying, there's no construction at all. It's able to go forward this summer. But they are before they put it to send it to regulatory, they've identified this as a priority because once it goes to regulatory, they have to do public engagement at that point anyway, too. So it's understandable they want to get ahead of this and actually do a proper engagement before going to regulatory.
Okay. I won't be here from the 20th.
Send the carrier pigeon from the ship.
Yeah, I'm just hoping there's no water in my basement by then. Usually it's not till June. Okay, 8.7 AYC resolutions.
So there's two things on this one. First one is I've been talking with Haines Junction and there's as well as a number of other number of other communities. There's a draft resolution right now, and high level, it's basically just saying that it's actually a good segue from the last conversation because it's encouraging more engagement with communities on infrastructure projects and just kind of finding ways recommending looking at innovative approaches for involving more communities more on the engagement side, but also with having a bit more agency over infrastructure projects that are developed in communities. And so right now it's just draft, but they're looking for support on this. And so I had said that I could, I'd bring it forward just to kind of get a sense if there'd be general support. Because obviously this goes to AYC, so there's more time for conversation and formal conversation as we go. But just wanted to kind of read the room a little bit to see if that would be something that the village would be wanting to support.
In theory, it sounds great.
I was going to say, it sounds good.
Yeah, it's always good for the communities to have one voice. I've realized with a lot of the AYC things, you don't realize everyone is in the same boat and having the same struggles until a resolution comes up and everyone's like, yes, thank you.
The second part of this is that I realized the deadline is fast approaching for resolutions. April 10th is when AOIC wants to have them all in. I'm doing like it's just been trying to play whack-a-mole with a lot of different things. There's a lot of different things going on, but I'm still very I'd still really like to follow through with what I was talking about in the last council meeting, which was a resolution that speaks to animal welfare and animal control. We are since the last meeting, there's actually been an increase in issues relating to animal control in the village. We've had we've just not that long ago, late last week, we had a number of dogs that were abandoned in the village. We've had a number of litters of puppies that have had to go into Humane Society. It's been taking up a lot of time and a lot of and it's to be honest, it's an emotional issue as well too. Just a brief scan with different other municipalities, they're dealing with very similar things, and there's in theory like support for some sort of resolution on this. So I've been trying to get in touch with the animal care coordinator that I was speaking about last time. Haven't had a chance to connect yet, but I'm gonna try again tomorrow. But I'm hoping to be able to put a draft resolution to council in the next day or two for review, and hopefully we'll be able to move on something with that. Something very high level, because obviously the details still need to get worked out. But I think I know that in reviewing the past resolutions that were put forward, there isn't anything relating to animal control, even though it is something that again anecdotally seems to be affecting a lot of communities right now, especially given the tighter economic times tends to unfortunately increase the issues on this one. So anyway, that one's more of an update, and more to come.
I threatened my dog today. He's like, if you don't listen, I'm gonna call that guy right there. As Liam drove by. She doesn't care. She
Oh, we totally turned the siren on.
Wine many times.
Yeah. I'm gonna call back. Go ahead then. I know he likes dogs. I'll get treats.
Means like there's a siren off.
Yeah. And I
The sad part is when I first moved here years ago, and this is horrific, what I'm going to say is there was probably still an animal problem, probably not as bad because populations grow. But back in the day, people would put, they didn't want their animals, they threw them in a sack and threw them in the river. That's the way it was. And I don't want to see it going back to that. I mean, it's bad enough that we're taking them in inhumane ways and that they have to be put down. But I had a chat with one person one time about the village of CarMax picking up the cost to do the spayed neutering. And I got yelled at pretty hard about, oh, that's not what I want my taxpaying dollars. I said, do you realize your taxpaying dollars is still paying for a ride for that dog to go down and get put down anyway, or some way? The money's still going in some way or another. And one way animals are dying. So I said, I would rather my money, my taxpaying dollars going into stopping this from happening than. And yeah, I got yelled at pretty good. But I mean, I stand my ground on that because I'm an animal lover. I just, it breaks my heart seeing this. But yeah, I would love to see something. I liked it when we did it that one year. I don't know how we pulled it off, Elaine Wyatt. I don't know if Doris had something to do with it, but yeah, we had the spayed neutering going on here, and it went on for 2 or 3 years. And yeah, I don't know how they did that, but it'd be nice to see something come back.
There's an opportunity too for it to be low or no cost to the village if it's done, like, I mean, do it right. I think I was mentioning in the last meeting, once upon a time years ago, there was a mobile spay neuter clinic that came around to communities, and there was again anecdotally there was pushback from the veterinary community because it was seen as taking business. I'm not sure. This was years ago, so it's hard to know. But there's such a change in ratio of vets to population
Yeah, right
now
now the vets aren't taking new
that
clients. They're not at all.
Yeah, and the word from the research I've done so far is just that it would definitely be a different environment now than it was back then. So
There's that mobile vet service now in Whitehorse. Can we hire him for a full day or something? Him or her for like a full day instead of per dog thing? I
potentially.
wonder. It might be cheaper than paying $250 per dog. Maybe get them here for a full day.
That would be a good idea.
I think this is like those are the kinds of things I think that we like that a resolution like this, if all communities were together, to your point, it's like that could actually kind of move the needle a bit on that and make things better for all communities. So yeah. Anyway, I will yeah, that's I'll be sending something out the next day or two.
Thank you.
Cool.
Okay. 8.8, Council Strat Planning Session.
So I was talking with Jordan earlier today, and I know that plans are changing. There's a lot of different, things. It's a busy time. There's a lot of things going on. It's, I guess, I just, I'd stress the importance of doing this session. I know it's something, like Jordan had said, it's something that the council had asked for and underscored the importance for it. But it's also the more of council that's there, the more effective and just yeah, it's just a better use of time and for a better product if everybody's hit the more people that are there.
Yes.
So what I would I just I know that the mayor will be away until next week. Councillor Mitchell had mentioned that he would be wasn't able to attend this weekend as well too due to work commitments.
Not during the day.
I wouldn't be sad to postpone it and be able to pack.
So it's yeah.
So then we'd have to wait till you got back in May, right?
I
Which
think
is good.
what Jordan was saying is that I think he was saying like his schedule is yeah his schedule is flat out for April as well too, and then we're into AYC. I think probably the earliest we'd be able to reschedule for would be mid-May at this point, which
You know
is
what would be nice? Mid-May, out somewhere, like
Super.
yeah, out like outside, out even for a day of like.
So I guess just polling potential dates would.
So you think it's going to stop snowing this year?
I don't
know.
So
Something
like
like for May, we don't want to have a long weekend.
No.
and
So that would put it the 23rd, 24th.
then yeah we're heading to Tama
Oh yeah.
the
The
week after
9th,
that.
10th, 11th
So
in Watson.
when does AYC wrap up?
The 10th,
Sunday the
Sunday.
10th.
The 10th. And then,
Hopefully just around lunchtime,
yeah.
usually to
There's
noon.
some talkers on the board.
Jordan said he could condense this into probably a 1 day thing, or we could do a day and a half, depending on what people
Well,
want.
because Justin mentioned a lot of it was going to be going over a municipal act. And I'm like, we should all know a lot of the municipal act by now.
That would only be the half day after. So he
Yeah.
did say if time is yeah, for the sake of time, you could do it probably like a 10 to 4 or something like that, like a 6 or 7 hour period.
Yeah.
But it would be important. It'd be more important to have more people there than a bit of like time kind of thing. So I guess would roughly ballpark mid-May work for people?
Like
Yeah.
May 23rd.
Probably more like May, I think.
That's a long weekend, the weekend before.
The weekend
16,
before.
17, 18th, long weekend.
16, 17 days in one weekend?
Yeah. I'll probably be around because I don't like to camp on long weekends.
I do.
That's like my least favorite camping. I always just follow Annette.
Yeah, it's a good policy. Good policy.
She gets some good spots.
So it's definitely the that weekend that's the long weekend. Not I thought it was the 24th is the long weekend.
No. Right here it says the
16th,
18th.
17th, 18th.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Right on that big calendar.
Okay. What about June? Because that's probably what we'll be looking at next.
June 6th? Or is that
First weekend of June.
a landing date?
No, Justin and Helena will be away the first week.
Oh, right.
For her FCMs.
Yeah. So okay, well maybe I can send out some to get Google poll or
Yeah,
something like
that's
that.
a good idea.
We can kind of figure it out.
You won't get my vote because me, I don't know where I'm going to be or what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
I just have a hit and miss in the summertime. Last year I was living in Jury Creek, so I don't even know where the hell I'll be.
Well,
Well, maybe we'll meet you halfway then.
yeah.
We'll have a meeting at Frenchman or something.
We go. There we
There
go.
we go. So
What's on the weekend? I'll just camp all weekend.
And that's where you use the water truck.
We'd have to probably look. We could look at potential dates, I mean, but probably not if it's not the long
Oh,
weekend.
yeah, actually, no, the 6th, 7th is the General Assembly for LSE event.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
So Justin will have to be there too.
yeah.
When are you back? May 4th.
Yeah,
Fly
so
back.
we couldn't the first weekend.
So we're probably looking at June sometime then. Just because it's yeah. But anyway, I'll put out some doodle poll dates tomorrow and we'll see what we can do.
Well, that does alleviate my packing stress.
There you go. Yeah. Silver lining. Yeah. But no, I will say too, though, just to kind of reiterate, yeah, if whenever we do this, it'll be really important for a number of reasons, just because I'd like to really do a strategic planning session with the administration too. But need to do the council one first. The other thing is too, there's a lot of big funds that are available for infrastructure and things. And so it'll be really key to get insights from everybody about things that we might want to do with the monuments of I'll put it out for the doodle poll and see what we can do for June actually.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, there's a last week in May too, isn't there? Or is there something going on the last?
They'll be in Guadalcanal.
Oh, okay, shut up. And shut up.
And I'll be away after that. I've got to go back for celebration of life. So, yeah.
Okay, so it looks like the next thing, even no one online other than Justin, next thing is an in camera
This one is.
to make a motion to go in camera first.
I was just gonna say this one's not urgent. We could table it if the council would like to. It's not something that necessarily needs to be done tonight. It can wait until
Is it land, labor, or law?
it's law.
I have no problem tonight or whenever. I have no
We'll
problem.
just have to probably make a motion that the meeting go past 9:30.
No,
Yeah,
I
if it's
think
already 9:25.
this is more of an update, so it probably only take 5 minutes, realistically, unless
Okay,
there's.
I'll make a motion that we start an in-camera session at 9:25. 9:25. Okay. Seconder?
One second.
All in favor? Yeah. Okay.
Justin's still there?
Yeah.
He's sure quiet.
Yeah.
He's hiding. He's hiding.
So this one is where is there anybody?
Is it shut off?
No, she said
you're not recording anymore, right?
Circling.
I didn't hear recording stops.
Good call.
He's outside.
There he is.